One.
Finish the countdown, Bob. Fucking hell. So we're back. I'm not going to say that we're live again because we're not. And we don't want that running joke to be a thing.
Yes, we do.
Where to start? Well, we know where we're starting. And I can't fucking believe it. Dive straight into City v Arsenal. Raya, man of the match. Easy.
Spent half of it on the floor.
Yep.
Fucking rightly so as well. But some big saves again from him. Some great coming and claiming the ball. Distribution, well, he had nobody to really hit, did he? We were so back deep for most of the second half. Where to start? Everywhere else, really. The first goal was a bit of, in my opinion, poor defending by Calafiori. Got suckered in and made it very easy for Savinha to turn him and play an easy ball through the middle.
It was a lovely goal, though.
It was a good finish by Haaland. Yeah, Haaland.
And the way he delayed his little run.
And having that space was pretty good for him. Bob?
Before you keep going, can you sound like at least a little bit enthusiastic for the crowd? I know it's just after the game, but you know.
No, fuck you. No, I can't. I've got a note about Rodri's injury as well. What a shame.
That's great.
Oh, dear.
What a shame. Best player in the world at the moment. So, yeah, it is a shame to see him out injured.
He should have been sent off.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Oliver wouldn't be surprising, would it? Here we go.
It's the Warriors Me Brigade has been out in full force. Jesus Christ.
Calafiori's goal. Superb goal. City fans can have a bit of a moan up about that because, yeah, like if it was against Arsenal and he'd called the defender out of position to have a word and then let the other team take the quick free kick, I'd be absolutely fuming. But it soon
evened out the playing field, though, didn't he, old Michael Oliver?
I mean, he more than evened it out, didn't he? He more than evened it out. Well, But then Gabriel's goal from... Like, I had a note after the first corner. Should be doing better. Like, it's a free header, first corner. He should get it on target. And then 5 minutes later, goes and does it, doesn't he?
It's a carbon copy. I'm
exactly the same.
Shocked that City's defending.
The only difference is they put Walker on him rather than Doku. And yeah, that didn't really work out.
I don't think that would have made any difference, to be fair. I think the movement in the box was superb and the crossing was great as well. It's just Martin, if you watch it again, Martinelli putting his back towards the keeper, stopping him from coming out as well. Yeah, it was just smart.
Yeah, he did the exact same on the first one.
Yeah, it's just exact same. I think if you had obviously someone taller against him, it would have been a bit different. I don't think the pace...
Well, I think he lost Walker, didn't he?
You could have just done zonal marking. But you look at the leap... And the ball that was in, Walker's. The only way that's going to work is if Walker can like stop him from running in, but doing like zonal marking instead of doing man on man. The man on man didn't work.
Zonal marking, you come with your own issues there as well.
You're normally like the players normally like near the edge of the box or a bit further out, and you're in front of the goal. If that makes sense, when you're doing that zonal marking, you're not normally behind the player.
You're
not normally that far out in the box where Gabriel was obviously in the middle of the box, just past the middle of the box. But yeah, that's a great goal. Great goal. Terrible defending.
Well worked.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And then on the eighth minute of added on time in the first half, Trossard doesn't learn Declan Rice's lesson. I don't. Like the first yellow card he gets as well is a yellow card. You can't argue that. But the woe it's me brigade and the Arsenal fans, because I know you want to talk about it. Like they've got points to some degree. Like I again, before you start jumping down my throat, by the letter of the law, it's a yellow card because he kicked the ball away.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't just a tap this time.
No, it wasn't. But is he delaying the start of the game? Because they're all crowding the referee and having a go at the referee anyway. Like, they're not going to be taking a free kick anytime soon. Like, so no, it's not really delaying the start of the game.
Yeah, but it was so blatant.
It was blatant.
You just can't put
the
ball away like that.
But the other thing I want to know, and I don't think Sky Sports have done it or anyone has done it yet, is how long between him blowing the whistle and him kicking the ball? What is that time? Like, if it's a second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds? Because, yeah, like, again, it's clutching at straws, but he's in motion at that point. Like,
yeah, but all I'll say to that is it wasn't exactly under pressure. That, to me, sounded like the players heard the ref blow his whistle and he's kicked the ball in frustration. That's not the sort of kick you do in normal play.
No, there's no one to pass it to. There's no nothing. He's just kicked it away. You know, it's not the Rice one where he just tapped it away. He's like booted it away.
The other thing to then talk about is the Doku one. The consistency again. He's not passing it to an Arsenal player. There's no Arsenal player where he kicks the ball into.
Did you see the rest of you might have come on here early. They were talking about it in the studio and they showed a bit more of it, if you like. And you see Doku look at Michael Oliver and he's pointing to him where he wants the ball, and Doku does just pass it up to where he's pointing. So I don't think that's as obvious. I don't think that was a yellow.
I saw that as well. If you see, because at half time I think they showed something. Oh no, when you sent that link, Mitchell. When you see Michael Oliver point, obviously for us you can still can't quite see it, but it did look like he was pointing where he wanted the ball on that.
And that's why I think it's different. I get the arguments, but when you look at Rice's one and Trossard's one, Rice, as soft as the tap it was, he did it as the Wolves players got to kick the ball, so yellow card. Brian and the Blair. Trossard one is
we need to get our right. Fucking we have called Brighton Wolves so many times on this podcast.
Oh, shit. yeah, and then the Trossard one was an obvious booting the ball away. So I do think, you know, it just because it's happened twice to Arsenal in short circumstances, all time, it doesn't mean the refs are out to get Arsenal.
It's a fucking conspiracy, bro. They're right out there. They're coming for us.
With even if Doku's one was him blatantly kicking it away, it still doesn't mean that you can just go ahead and do it. Like, yes, you should feel aggrieved by it, but it doesn't mean that everyone should get away with it just because that happened.
No, do you know what I mean? Everyone should be fucking booked. Everyone. Like, yeah. You can't pick and choose. Because, like, again, going back to the one against the Rice one, in the same game week, there was at least 4 other notable players do the same thing and not get booked for it. That's where the woe it's me does come into.
That's what I mean.
I think that's changed, Clive.
I think that's changed. I think since the Arsenal game, I can't remember if it was a Spurs game, or it might have been the Spurs game where someone else got booked for doing a similar thing, or there was another game in the Premier League that did the same thing and they got booked all after the Arsenal game. Yeah, I know. Arsenal fans feel egregious about what's happened to him. Like two games now.
That's the Premier League and the referees just covering their own back now.
Oh, I agree. I still think the Rice one. I think you can go back to the other talks that we've done. I still think it was I don't think it was a booking. I think it was so little for what he'd done, like a little tap away, and it wasn't even that. But also, Clive, if you look at the Arsenal game today, they're saying like delaying kickoff, yeah, delaying like the free kick and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So when Man City scored, no, I can't remember if it was a shot or a score. It might have been when they scored. I think Raya held the ball, or someone held the keeper held the ball to stop kickoff. Yeah, and it's like, well, okay, is the referee now going to book the keeper for delaying kickoff?
The one thing that will start happening,
because that'll be next.
Well, and like again, this is I'm not woe it's Arsenal, woe it's me here. At some point, Raya is going to get booked for what he was doing.
He did it the Spurs game as well. He did the same thing in the Spurs game, and the players, what they're doing, because if you go back and watch Spurs game, the players did the same thing. They huddled over him, jumped on him, pushed him down, held him down. It's like that look, that's football. You want to win the game, especially Arsenal. They want to win the league. But that time wasting has actually hurt you in the long run. because it right this if you look at the two goals they scored was the end of the first half and the end of the second half.
They scored before us.
Yeah,
I know. What you're saying is there's been big decisions in those added on minutes.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the red card. Sorry. Yeah.
But like even saying like that, it's frustrating in a sense that, like you defend so well for so long, and it is like again with the goal. So we're talking about like shithousery and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Haaland chucks the ball at Gabby's head.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, that's funny.
That's a booking. I agree.
Yeah, nothing. Just yeah. And Haaland doesn't get booked at all that game. Number one, like again, the coming together with Saliba early in the game, I think Oliver got right, and I think he got it right in the second half. Right, well, no, we've not booking Trossard for the actual foul on Bernardo Silva. I think those two decisions were right.
Yeah,
because
he let Havertz one go as well on Rodri.
Yeah,
so I think that's fair. Yeah.
But then Haaland's done that. Haaland has also, at one point, what else did I note down that he done? He done something else, like straight into Lewis, the young 17-year-old. He's walked away without a booking that game.
But again, like, I'm not saying that you shouldn't feel aggrieved, because you should feel aggrieved. Like, I would be pissed off if that had happened. Like again, so I'm talking about a red card here, by the way. Again, I'm still hung up about it. Sorry. But you should feel aggrieved. But I still think fundamentally it comes down to the player and the decisions that they're making, right?
Lesson, you should learn a fucking lesson. Like, and one of the notes, and this is a woe, it's me fucking statement, is Arsenal fans know the referees don't give decisions to them. And will give decisions against them very easily. So don't put yourself in that position. Don't let the referees, don't give them the decision to make. And that's what they need to get in their heads. They need to fucking figure out anything that we do. And it does feel like it's us. We're gonna get a shitty fucking card for it.
All the way.
Yeah.
Fucking Arsenal, honestly.
Well, you'd think they would have learned, because Rice did the same thing in the game.
That's literally what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They should fucking learn.
Yeah. But you're saying that, I don't want to say that to get Arsenal, but if they just keep doing it, and Arsenal just keep doing it, then obviously they're going to keep getting booked for it.
So if he didn't boot the ball away, and it's half time, 1-1, you come out 11-11. 2-1, sorry. You come out 11-11. What do you think the game would have been like then?
Because I
feel like Arteta has done very well at half-time, bringing Ben White on, changing the system and drilling it into their heads, and just held off City for, 55 minutes, 56 minutes? Is very well against this City side. So I just think if you did have the 11, you'd have been pushing more. You'd have been trying to go for another one, and they might have done you on the counter.
Yeah, they might have done. But there's more chance that we'd do them on the counter, because likelihood is they're still going to have a very high percentage of the ball, not as high. They're still going to be trying to break us down, and we might have a bit more legs and an actual out ball. So the likelihood is it could have. Like you can never say, but like my feeling is, if we have 11 men on the pitch, we've got a better chance of winning the game than and that's an obvious statement. Yep. But you're 2-1 up against City.
I'm not gonna
point out. But yeah, no, the game could have been very different in the sense that we could have been caught out a bit more when we were further up the pitch for sure. But you're never gonna know, and unfortunately, like for an Arsenal fan, and it does come down to the referee for us has kind of spoiled the game again.
I think
the referee spoiled the game again.
I wouldn't blame the referee for this game. The referee just did his job.
I mean, that's the law.
Exactly. And I think on that statement, Clive, obviously the 11, it would have been counter-attack football. But I think it changed when Rodri went off. I mean, we can all see that when Rodri went off. You know, you just see the buzz about Arsenal be pushing a bit more. It looked a bit more of an open
game.
I think
in terms of that, Laura, and it happens a lot in games, is sometimes, right, not sometimes, a lot of the times in a game where one team starts particularly fast, they can only keep that kind of tempo up for 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20. And City started fast. City were on it. And then I don't think it's just the Rodri sub. I think they start to slow down and Arsenal start to grow into the game. Arsenal have to come out a little bit more because we're already 1-0 down. And you have to play a bit more attacking. But I don't, like, don't get me wrong. Again, Rodri is in my opinion, the Ballon d'Or. Like, he's the best player in the world when he's fully fit. But I don't think the game changed dramatically because he went off injured.
There was just more space.
I think that may be because they started so quickly, then, like, they weren't able to keep that.
I mean, we're never going to know, we're never going to know, because obviously, you know, he went off and the game went how it went in the end of the day. And again, you know, you don't know what the result would have been if you had 11 men on the pitch anyway. At the end of the day, so it'll be interesting to see the next game when it's at your ground, on who's fit.
It will be down to who's fit, but
just reiterating what Mitchell said, I think in the second half you've done amazingly. To be honest,
my opinion is every one of those players that played that game should have the fucking Wednesday off, and we play Kids Against Bolton and go out the Carabao Cup. Like, fucked Carabao Cup off completely. Those boys, like, if Gabriel, Saliba, Partey, Rice, like, Martinelli, if any of them play on Wednesday I'd be amazed, because they need a break. That's been full on. We similar against, like, Tottenham, hard game midweek against Atalanta. Like, I don't know why that's a laugh.
Atlanta, come on, mate.
They won the European Cup last season, didn't they?
No.
Nah. They're a decent team, Mitch. At least they're in Europe. Hey. There's some boys in there, and it's been a tough start to the season for us, fixture wise. I'm happy with the points. We've not lost the game yet. And we've played two games with 10 men.
What did you think of Calafiori's performance?
His what, sorry?
His performance.
I think the first goal, he can hold his hands up and say he should be doing better. But after that moment, he was superb. The goal is absolute class.
Beautiful goal.
Absolute class goal. And he defended. I did think at one point maybe switch him and Timber around, because I thought Silvino had him for pace and he was struggling at once or twice. But again, like, the rest of the team kind of galvanised around him. Gabriel Martinelli, once again, his work backwards is insane at the moment. He's covering so much ground defensively. And a lot of Arsenal fans get on his back in regards to him not producing the assists or the goals at the moment. He did get an assist today. And again, his defensive work is the reason why he's in the team. Like, Arteta loves players that are working hard, doing the running, doing the hard running. And he's probably the top player for that at the moment. Like, people are attacking us down the left and he's always there to help double up. But yeah, Calafiori for his first full debut, first full match, up until he went off with what looked to be cramp, was superb. Timber, superb. Saliba, superb. Gabriel, superb. Reyes, superb. Thomas Partey, Rice, all absolutely superb. The whole team can really, really take a lot out of it defensively.
Other than Trossard.
Yeah, other than Trossard, I guess. And he can thank the boys in the locker room for us not getting turned over. And again, other seasons gone, when we lose a player, we lose that game 3-1, 3-2, 4-2, whatever it is. We lose that game in previous seasons.
Yeah, Arteta, so. he's, a,
He knows how to set up defensively. Well, yeah, he really does. And again, Ben White for Saka might raise some eyebrows, but it's probably the right decision.
Yeah. And Saka was having a quiet game anyway. But you've got to shut up shop after that.
Quiet game still manages to get an assist though, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
The boy.
Yeah, knocking on them doors, isn't he?
Yeah, still banging on those doors. My other notes were like, so I counted maybe three big saves from Raya. There was probably more. And his ability to just come and grab the ball out of the air was, when you're up against a team like City with Haaland in the box, that's pretty impressive to do.
Especially like, I think one of the last ones that he did, it was such a crowded area at that point, mm-hmm. and he just literally leaps above everyone, like such, like
gets the space and just comes and gets it.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And I think they all thought that was it then, didn't they? They thought that's it, was sorted. They're going away with 3 points.
But one of the things that obviously will come up once or twice again is like letting Ramsdale go. Because a lot of Arsenal fans, including myself, absolutely love Ramsdale. But we are seeing the difference between the two this season.
It'd be a mistake.
Sorry?
It'd be a big mistake.
What would be a big mistake?
Getting rid of Ramsdale.
He's gone.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's Southampton's goalkeeper
now. How does he not know this?
Because I don't follow Arsenal.
Yeah, but we talked about it.
We've talked about it. Fucking hell.
I don't care for Arsenal, let's be honest. Let's be honest here.
We sold him to Southampton and we got Neto from Bournemouth on loan.
Okay.
And since then, Southampton have conceded 7 goals, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say any of those around Sales Cole.
Yeah, I think that's probably just the club.
I mean, he made some good saves yesterday.
Not enough, though.
Not enough. Goalkeeper. Not...
Right. Anybody else want to talk about Arsenal? And
if it's any consolation, right, because as much as I love taking a piss about Trossard getting sent off, he did ruin one of my bets, so...
I'm glad.
Fuck that guy.
And the game, for that matter. The first half was so good.
Yeah, it was.
The first half was great, but from a tactical point of view, the second half was still fascinating. Like, yeah. I'm not an Arsenal fan, and I was fucking tense, like, watching them trying to hold onto this lead. It was still a fascinating watch.
It was fascinating, but I think that's different to really good.
Like, I would have preferred two of the first halves, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking Trossard, honestly. Trossard. Fucking Clive.
Fucking Mike Wallaber, mate.
Like, I must be hard playing against 12 men, eh, Clive?
10 against 12 is always hard, isn't it? Like, I mean, we're not going to talk about Mike Wallaber going over to Saudi, being paid by the Man City owner to go and referee a game over there. We're not going to talk about that because, you know.
Sounds like you are, Clive.
But yeah. At the start of the day, if you'd asked me, would I take a draw? I would, 100%.
So would AI.
AI did. Yeah, I did make a note as well because Arsenal ladies drew with City as well, too. So, Viv Miedema scored against us. So, yeah, that was...
What about if I'd asked you at 6:10 whether you had taken a point or not?
Probably still would have, yeah.
Oh, okay, fair.
Yeah. I thought the later the game got, the more likely City were going to go get a goal as well. All right, let's move on. Let's go somewhere else.
Cheer up, Clive. Come on, mate.
Bless him.
All right. You can take the piss out of me in a minute.
Let's go there. Unless Luke's got anything else to say on the game.
No, I think you defended well till the end. Man City are just Man City, mate. You know, they're a quality team. Arsenal were unlucky not to get something. Well, you got something out of the game. I guess you got a point, which still hurts. That would be nice if you lost. But I could be honest. You defended really well. It was just unfortunate at the end. I don't know why you switched off at that corner. That made no sense. But
I mean, I don't know about...
You switched
tired
off.
Tired legs. It's tired legs.
Well, that's where the subsequent... Well, no, because you brought Ben White on.
He still fucking defended for 60 minutes, basically.
I'm literally not criticising, but yet you want to try and make something out of it. I'm literally saying that you switched off.
That sounds like criticism.
It's not criticism. That's exactly what it was. It was a fact more than a criticism. I ain't even come up with a criticism for Arsenal, but it was just a fact that Ben White should have been there closing that down quicker. And then, and then they scored for
it. He had such an easy job up until that point as well, didn't he, Ben White?
oh, exactly that. Well, that's what I mean. That's what I said, they switched off. But it is what it is. And you got the draw. And let's hope you lose your next game.
Onwards and upwards. I mean, again, I'd take a loss against Bolton. I wouldn't take a loss against Bolton, but I don't care about that cup. Let's just come away with 11 players on the pitch, number one, and no injuries, number two. Right, West Ham v Chelsea.
Right, I'm off, boys. have a good evening.
But who wants to start?
Well, first of all, I mean, I just think we should mention my love for Nicholas Jackson. I mean, he is a world-class striker, is he not?
Oh, fuck yeah, Mitchell.
I mean, honestly, I've never doubted the boy.
I think he's knocking on the door, isn't he?
He's knocking on the door, mate. He's Lionel Jackson.
All that rage that I had yesterday is flooding back. All of a sudden.
Bob's favourite striker.
Just from the start from the game. And all my complaints with Jackson were he rushes and he boots it at the keeper, panics, no confidence. But that first goal, oh, beautiful. Took his touch, had a look, slotted it through his legs.
Yeah, you know why he could do that?
Because West Ham is shit.
Mate. I don't say this lightly, but that was fucking disgraceful yesterday. I've never seen anything like it. Yeah.
Who's that right back? Because he was so slow. I know Jackson's quick.
It wasn't the right back.
Who was it? So it was Mavropanos, yeah. So yeah. Wan-Bissaka got called out of position. I said exactly the same thing, Luke. It was like that first goal was in slow motion.
Yeah.
Jackson had all the time in the world to pick his spot. And to be honest, even the shot, it wasn't even that good of a shot. Areola should be doing better there, I think, on his near post.
Oh, mate, he slotted it. It was beautiful.
He didn't fucking slot it. It was slow as fuck. It was unbelievable. Honestly.
West Ham. I mean, where was your defence? You're all over the place. There was no shape.
It was just disjointed.
You made us look like a good team.
Lazy.
Even the second goal, that's one of my notes, is like they kind of beat the press and they played the ball through. The West Ham players are not busting a gut to get
back. No, they're not.
They've got like a Van de Ven, have they?
But they're not even trying, Luke. It's not even about the pace. It's like they're not even trying. Like they're just, it was just absolute laziness, or that's what it felt like, or just disjointedness. And like another thing that like even proved that to me, and I know this is like a bit of a weird thing to say, but when Cucurella took out Kudus, for example, and like he was rolling around on the floor and everything, and all the players just kind of accepted it. There's no one like crowding round, like giving it or whatever. Like, that's a bit of fucking pressure. Yeah. Like,
I noted that on your opening game as well. Everything looked a bit flat. And here you are on your third home game? Flat West Ham. There's no threat there. It's like we were at a training ground.
How long did you give him, Bob?
Give who? What? Lopetegui?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly not now, is it?
Moyes in.
Oh, fuck off, you lot. I knew you was going to start giving it about this. I mean...
Mate, you're just telling me that Trossard needed to go, so I'm just telling you, Moyes has to come back in. Like, the football you're playing is no better.
No, it's not. But, I mean... You've got to give him time, haven't you? It's obviously a new setup. He's got to get his tactics across and everything. But yesterday, like in the previous games, I've at least seen kind of positives. But yesterday, there was nothing there.
Especially nothing. As well, because you've got a Chelsea team that are still figuring out their defence. And we've got Fofana, who's not a right-back, playing in right-back position. and you're not challenging anything. You're not putting any pressure on.
Well, that's a bit similar to like, and again, I go back to West Ham v City as well. And this, but again, it's City. But you had like Rico Lewis at left back or right back for City for that game. And you think that for Kudos should be, right, I'm getting the ball as much as possible. I'm attacking him. Same for Chelsea and Fofana. Like, Kudos should be going, right, give me the ball every chance you get and I'm going at him because it's not his natural position. Let's go at him.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Kudos, he's the only player I put down as being decent for West Ham. I thought West Ham as a whole, awful, but Kudos was pretty decent.
I think Somerville looked quite good as well, to be honest. Like, he was certainly... He should have had the penalty. He was being positive with the ball when he got it. He definitely should have had a penalty. I don't give a fuck what you say, Mitchell. So,
my note on the penalty is he goes down and he makes it so obvious that he's being
like a sack of potatoes.
But I think he oversells it, and that's probably why he doesn't get the
penalty. He's a small lad, Clive. He's getting pulled down by something.
I almost don't want to say this because, oh, West Ham fans, they're just below the Arsenal fans, aren't they? They love a good moan. I just think it. You're going to hate this. I think it's a 50-50. I've seen them given and I've not seen them given. That's what I mean by 50-50.
He's holding his hands and he's pulling him back.
I get that.
But my point is, right?
That's a 99-1.
No, it's not. Because if it was 99, it wouldn't fucking happen ever.
Anywhere else on the pitch... It's a free kick and a yellow card.
No, I don't think so. Because, and I'll tell you why, anywhere else on the pitch, he doesn't go down.
He does.
He doesn't. Anywhere else on the pitch, he stays on his feet and he keeps running with that ball. He goes down because he sees Tosin coming in and he knows he's not going to get that ball. So he goes down trying to look for a penalty, which wouldn't have been a penalty anyway because the foul was outside of the box.
No, it continues in the box.
It doesn't matter.
As long as it continues, is that a rule change?
I thought it was where it starts.
That's another 2 year ago rule change.
Yeah.
But stop talking absolute wet anyway, Mitchell. You know for a fact, if that was the other way round, if someone was pulling on the arm of one of your players in the penalty area, you would 100% expect a penalty. That is not 50-50.
It depends on if he could have got the ball or not. And I don't think he could have got the ball. And that's why he went down. No. Look at it again. He knocks it too far forward, or whatever the pass was, whatever. And our defender's getting there. Tosin is getting there. He's not getting that ball. So he thinks, right, I can feel something on me here. I'm going to go down and get that penalty.
So you're saying then, if you're just running around in the middle of the pitch without the ball, someone can just come over and tug your arm
It happens. Yeah. They can tug my dick if they want. I'm still going to try and run with a fucking ball.
Well, you wouldn't get on any fucking way of doing that. You'd probably run it fucking out of play, prick.
They're not tugging on his dick either because it's so small.
Thank you. Thanks, Clive.
It would have been at 2-0, wouldn't it? So that would have been 2-1, maybe?
It would have been 2. I don't think it would have changed the game for me, personally. I think if it went to 2-1, I still don't think. Because even when Kuda scored and it was obviously offside, I was expecting like a bit of a reaction from that. And yes, we had a lot of the ball in the final third for a little period in the first half. But just nothing was being created. It was all very flat again. And then every time Chelsea were getting on the break, it just looked like they were going to score. And like it could have been anyone up front. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I expect, like, you look at the last, I think it was the last 30-ish minutes. We're 3-0 up by then. The game was walking football. We're chilling out now because it's like, well, we've got the three. West Ham aren't troubling us. Let's not burst our banks here. And West Ham aren't putting any pressure on. They're not trying to get anything back in that game. They're like, oh, 3-0 down. It was you had the wind knocked out of you when that Palmer goal went in the second half.
Yeah, 47 seconds in or whatever it was.
And you never tried after that. It was really woeful from West Ham.
That would suggest that there was some wind to take out in the first place. So fuck all, mate. But I guarantee that is the easiest game of football that Chelsea will play this season. I'm talking all competitions. It was absolutely fucking awful. And to be honest, I've tried to be positive about West Ham on this podcast previously, but there's literally not one positive thing that I saw in that whole fucking entire game. Yeah. It was fucking dreadful.
Swedish farmers gave us a harder time.
Yeah. I may make you smile a little bit with it, Bob. Christian Nkunku had a chance late on, which Areola saved.
Yeah.
Header. Free header.
Yeah.
No one's marking him. Fucking Jackson would have scored that, mate.
No,
Jackson would have scored that all day long. Listen. And Nkunku, no pressure on you. 3-0 up. Just go and score the goal, mate. Is the least amount of pressure moment.
If Jackson Henry was still on that pitch, he probably would have scored that goal.
he 100% would have scored that.
He was looking tasty, wasn't he? But again, I don't want to get my hopes up because. I want him to do well. I want him to do well because he's here till 2033. Can't fucking get rid of him.
Do you know what else?
He has to do well.
I've been sticking up for him all of these podcasts.
I know.
But ever since, what's destroyed it for me is that fucking Michael Jackson fucking dance that he done at the end of it.
Shocking.
He can fuck off.
Shocking celebration.
Honestly, what a fucking knob.
He's got to enjoy it. He's having the game of his life.
Was there any positives from the Chelsea side mission that you were seeing now that they're playing more a team structure now instead of like the 44 players that they've got that just
particularly Caicedo and Enzo together. I don't want to get carried away with it because I was going to say they're controlling the middle of the park, they're turning play around and they're keeping possession with us, but fuck me, you're not going to get to play West Ham every week, are you?
I mean, you say that as well, but you've only lost one game this season, and that was against City.
Yeah,
you've got 3 wins and a draw, so you've got the same start as Arsenal now. Would you consider yourself top 4 team? Would you consider yourself going for the title?
I think definitely not for the title. I think it's too early to say for top 4 just yet. I like what Maresca's doing. I like what he's building. I like that there's just the team know what they're doing. There's a bit of confidence behind us now. He seems to have a bit of charisma about him, and it's I was a little bit the Palace game and the Bournemouth game, we looked like we were struggling a little bit. It was okay, performances were fine, we weren't getting the wins, or we get a late goal in Bournemouth to get the win, and that's why I'm thinking we're going to struggle against West Ham because we normally do when West Ham are at home. And again, I don't want to get carried away because we did look great, but West Ham were just that poor. But, yes.
I do think Caicedo had a really good game, though.
Caicedo had a very good game, yeah.
I heard he did, yeah.
Yeah. But I like what he's building. I like what's going on here. I still think top 6 is what you're aiming for. I don't think we're going to break into top 4. But we'll see.
Fair. And the other question on shoes on the other foot now. West Ham, can we start talking about them being relegation?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It's in the prediction.
You've had 3 home games and you've not won any of them.
You won one
game this season so far, and I can't even remember who that was against.
Crystal Palace. It's like you're deliberately trying to wind me up.
I'm just asking the questions, Bob, mate.
I don't think that's in the question. I think we've obviously got to improve. Like anything is an improvement from that. And I think the previous 3 or 4 games, what is it now? Are we up to the 5th game?
5 games,
yeah. So the previous 4 games, I think there were definitely positives in there. And I mean, in hindsight, a draw against Fulham away is pretty good. We seem like, but I find this with West Ham. We do seem to be a fairly decent kind of away team anyway. There's something about being at home. But yeah, I think we will improve off the back of that. I think that was just a very... I don't know what it was. Like, there's literally... I tried to think of excuses, believe me, before I came onto this podcast, and I just don't think there is any. I think we're just fucking awful and got everything wrong.
Going to lose the dressing room.
Well, I mean, if he was in a toxic environment like Chelsea, then maybe.
Not anymore.
I can't see that. I think we've got a good set of players. The players that we've got, especially forward players should not be getting relegated.
Yeah, I mean, you would have said that like before the last time you got relegated, though, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest, the last time we did get relegated, we got relegated with the highest amount of points that have ever been relegated. Yeah, we did still get relegated, but fuck you. but yeah, I think we will improve off the back of that, and I don't think relegation is a concern.
So, given what you've seen so far this season, mm-hmm. you would say you're better than at least three of the teams below you at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Southampton, mm-hmm. absolutely better than them. I'm going to say Crystal Palace because we beat them 2-0. To be honest with you, I think we're better than 14 of the teams. I just think it was a bad representation. Maybe not 14. Sorry, I take that 14. Back. 12.
Well, I was going to say jump.
You lose to Brentford next weekend away. Are you still saying this?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a new manager, a completely new system.
So is us.
What?
So are we.
Yeah, but you've got Jackson, ain't you? He's world class.
Oh, yeah.
Easy, mate. Knocking the door, Bob.
Yeah. Oh, we've got Zlatan Jackson, haven't we?
Fucking old job. You're going through those names.
I'm running out of names.
I don't see relegation as a concern, and I definitely think that we're better than at least four or five of the teams, even based off the performances that we had in the first four games, not so much the game against Chelsea.
I don't disagree. Like, I do think Everton and Wolves will be a bit better.
Tongue twister going on there.
Is that Wolves or Brighton?
They'll both be a little bit better, but still not better than West Ham, I don't think. I think Palace will get better as the season goes, but Ipswich, I've not watched them enough, but Southampton look awful.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything about Leicester yet because that's Arsenal's next Premier League opponent. So,
Bob, have you seen the stats for the West Ham Chelsea game? They just don't tell it just doesn't look right.
You fucking love your stats.
I do love stats. Like,
for someone in the first podcast, you said, let's take stats away from it.
It's just intriguing now, looking at more in football than I used to. Yeah. And look at it now. You had 15 shots to Chelsea's 12, 7 on target to Chelsea's 5.
How many goals?
Well, that's it. That's what I mean. You had 53% possession to Chelsea's 47.
But a lot of those, they're 7 shots on target. A lot of them were Sanchez just standing there collecting the ball.
Yeah, straight down the ball. Like
that's what I mean. That's what makes it interesting with the stats and stuff. But yeah, aerial duels though, as you know, like an aerial duel, 50-50.
Loved it.
But I thought I'd just throw that out there.
To be honest, Luke, no, I haven't looked at the stats because I literally wanted to forget about that game instantly after I watched it. So,
I'm sorry,
thanks for bringing it up.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, like, you had chances, mate. You had chances. Just obviously not clear. You didn't have no clear cut ones, if that helps.
Knocking on the door, though, mate.
Yeah, just a bit.
All right, over to Spurs, Luke.
Oh, what can I say? Finally. a result that it was coming, and I must admit I was dreading it a little bit because like the way that they played against Man City last week, they looked decent, and then we went 1-0 down in the first 22 seconds as Mitchell pointed
and
out
a banger
me,
as well
it was a banger that was. You hit that so cleanly, so keep there, no keeper saving that. It was just it was just Tottenham just, I don't know, didn't warm up well enough before the start of the game because they just let him play football. 22 seconds in, I mean, he hit it so nice. And it's gone in. So I thought, oh no, here we go. This is Tottenham. But then again, sometimes we need that at Tottenham. I think that sometimes kickstarts us because most teams, they get a goal at like the 70th minute against us when we've been dominating. And now we're just chasing for that, well, obviously for the win. But there's just not enough time to come back. Them scoring 22 seconds in, I sort of just kicked Tottenham up the arse, and then we just went on. I mean, they had chances as well throughout the game. It was, you know, I wouldn't say we dominated like the other games that we've played this season, the other teams we've played.
Don't say that word.
Yeah, well, it's true. And they come, it's like, yeah, we looked good. Madison, Maddison just sharp.
I did hear Maddison had a very good
game. Yeah, Maddison was just, he just turned up. Bentancur, from what the fans were saying, had a blinder. He was really good against Coventry the other night as well. And I generally thought he wouldn't be starting because he played the full game, but he obviously needs the minutes. So he stuck him in the game, but he did come off after 60 minutes, which is what I expected when I knew he was starting.
Didn't Ange drop Maddison back a little bit, like played him a little bit deeper, and that kind of allowed him to have more of the ball, or am I talking shit?
No, he's been playing the way he's been normally playing. It's just that the last few games he has been coming deeper to get the ball, to make things happen. But this time, what I liked about it, he was moving forward more. Instead of like getting a ball in and trying to make like a Kevin De Bruyne, like ping a ball in and, you know, run off of it and so on and so forth. He was doing 1-2s and quick passing. It just fluid. The team was fluid. Passing out wide quicker. Udogie was up and down that left quite a bit. Brendan Johnson did well considering the stick he's been getting on social media, which made him come out of social media. Solanke. You know, he was getting in great positions. His hold up play has been phenomenal. I can't moan him for that. Getting in those areas. Got a goal as well. A bit of a tap in, but look, if you're not there, you're not going to score, are you?
It's the kind of goal you would expect him to score more of this season, given like the idea of your team and the way that you build attacks is down the sides.
Oh, exactly.
You'd expect him to get more and more goals like that. He could have had a second one as well, very similar. But I think defender maybe on the line, or the goalkeeper just did enough to save it.
I think I can't remember it. I was in the highlight of it. He was unlucky not to get another one. We had a few chances that just scrambled in the goal area. It was good. Son. Yeah, he had a good game. He got 2 assists. Like, I can't fault him. Like, he had a good game, but he had 2 one-on-ones that you'd expect him to score. Wow. Like, if this was a couple of seasons ago, he's scoring.
Fuck, it wasn't last season against City, was it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. A couple of seasons. Yeah,
confidence
I know,
is gone, isn't it?
It's just his one-on-ones are just lucky. He tried to take it around the goalkeeper, and yeah, it just didn't work. Another one, he just stopped really, and he didn't shoot. Defensively, again, we look a bit. We just.
But you saw the good side of Romero again, because wasn't it? I think it's the Maddison goal. He picks the ball up, plays a great through ball to Son.
Yeah,
and then Son passes it to Maddison, who then very well chips.
That's
goalkeeper.
A great finish. Yeah,
good finish. Yeah, that's the good side of Romero, right?
Yeah, he had. I think the stats were 11. What was it? What did I see? It was 11 tackles made, 11 tackles won. I think it's the most a Premier League player has done in a game or something like that. And there's some sort of stat out there again for it. He's good at that when he's in position. But for some reason, he just decides to just run like out of position. He sees red and he goes, runs at a player. And he comes out of position and then there's space, but no one covers him. But what I liked about this game was Bentancur was shit hot. Like from what I was reading and what fans were saying was that he was just, he was everywhere. Anytime someone went forward in those areas, he was dropping back. So I don't know what, I saw it in a Coventry game as well. He was doing the same thing. So I think that's what we've been lacking in our games is that what teams are noticing that, look, Pedro goes forward. Well, then who's covering Pedro on the right? You know, Udogie goes forward. Who covers him on the left? No one's coming across and we leave space. So then the defensive midfield players, like what happened against Arsenal, if you remember, when Martinelli decided to shoot instead of cross, like Romero just come flying out. It was like, what the fuck are you doing? You didn't need to. Just stay there. Romero was there. But he didn't.
That's going to be the question mark is against better teams. And I've got that question mark against Maddison. Like, it's all well and good Maddison playing superbly against Brentford in a team where you're going to dominate the ball at home. What does he do when you're up against a big team? How good does he perform there?
I'll go on, Bob.
No, I was just going to say, just backing up what Clive is saying, because the two really good performances he has had this year have been against Leicester and Brentford. who are two, I guess, not particularly big teams. No offence to them, obviously. I mean, I can't say shit. I'm a West Ham fan, so you know.
And you've got them next weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
I see where you're coming from. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely shined more against, obviously, we're looking at Leicester, looking at Brentford, and we're looking at Coventry as well when he came on. The Arsenal game, he was, I'm going to say he was quiet, but he wasn't, like, he was coming deep to get the ball when we needed it, but we just couldn't break Arsenal's defence. He's the kind of player
that needs to be doing it, right?
Exactly that, yeah. And I like the way that he's been playing, like, last two games. So I don't know if it's a change, as I mentioned, if it's changed that Ange's in time to do is to pass that ball a lot quicker and move. Instead of pass that ball, and then come in a little space and then pass the ball again, come in that space, pass the ball. It's just, you're just going sideways. It's not working, and then no one's making that run because teams are just dropping deep. So I like that he's now making space. He's now making runners drop, like pull players out because he's now the extra man in the box or dragging that defensive midfield plus, and now someone else can come in that space. And it seems to be, well, at least the last two games it's worked. So we'll see as the season progresses. So yes, hopefully, because like last season, he was turning up at the big teams last season, just he got injured. And then he came back and he just wasn't his normal self. So this season he's been fit and he's played well. It's just that we've not had the finishing. And yesterday we had finishing yesterday. The goals were going in. And as you saw with his goal today, so you see how far forward he was in that position when Son assisted him. You know, normally you'd expect that to be, I don't know, who played, it would have been with Son on the left, but it could have been like someone like Werner if he was on, or Brennan Johnson on the right. In those wing, those attacking forwards, should I say, the wing, the inside forwards.
Yeah,
they would have been those, but our attacking midfield player was there, which is great. It would have been Kulusevski, so it was good to see, and we needed a win, and we got the goals. And I also like that, you know, a team like Brentford, they actually had like they had chances, and they got forward. They didn't just sit back, and which made us to get like. Give us a bit of space in the game. So, yeah, I was happy with the performance. The hard thing is obviously a 3 o'clock kickoff where we're not in America. We can't see the game. So I'm obviously going off of comments and fans and stuff that, you know, that are in America, watch the game, or they've found a dodgy stream of it with their notes and stuff. But it's from what I've seen on Sky Sports and reading their comments and the ratings and stuff for the players, it was a good game. You know, Ange is happy, but I still think Vicario is a liability.
The other point, the handball.
The handball was. It is an interesting one
that the referee is getting on. Like if he's saying that he didn't see it, he shouldn't be a referee because he's like 2 yards away.
I think I'm getting mixed fingers on this one from what I'm reading online. So. A lot of videos and stuff are saying that when they showed you it and he handballs it, the player's head's inside the box. Yeah, so the handball there, it looks like his hand's there when he's handballed it, but the player's head's inside the box, but his legs are just outside. So they think it's in the area. And I think when it comes down a bit, it looks like he touched it again, but they believe it might be on the line. So they can't give a VAR or the referee can't give a... It's one of those ones that do you give it to the keeper or do you give it to the opposite team?
That was
that.
Arsenal, Luke.
Exactly that.
He'd have been sent off. It'd have been a penalty. Yeah, no.
You're not wrong. Yeah. The referee would have given an handball against the goalkeeper in his own area and given him a red card. Yeah. 100%.
Look, he's a great shot stopper. Like, he's quality.
He did make a quality save. There was a couple of mistakes.
And that was at 2-1 as well, that save as well. Yeah. It was a big save.
A better team. That game ends 3-0.
Oh, I don't know about that.
He, there was at least two. Again, the penalty, and there was another one.
Oh, there was one where he nearly got caught out. He nearly got caught out. The player was closing him down, but he just fucking around with it too much. Like, just get the
ball
out.
Doing?
And that's what happened in the second half. Second half, we didn't keep playing those short little fucking passes. We've got a big giant striker at the top. Why not use his ability to bring the ball down and control it? And what happened in the second half? We were doing that. So I think it's a hard one. It's a hard one because teams nowadays, they want to play from the box, don't they? They don't want to keep pumping it up to the striker like we used to do back in the day. and play the ball in the air all the time. They want to keep it on the floor as much as possible.
Yeah, it's about possession, isn't it? Most teams believe the game is now all like, if you've got the ball, then obviously you can't see the goal. And every team wants to play out from the back. And that's what it's doing Southampton at the moment. Like, they've not got players to do that. But like, there are times where you can't just punt it long. Like, Tottenham did it against Arsenal once last weekend, where Solanke was, as I say, tussled with Saliba a little bit.
And
if the rub of the green goes the other way, Solanke then beats Saliba there. Like, it's still something more teams should use, like the big long ball up to your forward. If you've got a big forward as
well. Exactly. He brought it down a couple of times in that battle. And I like Kane, every time when he played against Saliba won every time. The Solanke one, it was like, I feel like it was like 50-50. And it was, but we didn't do it enough against Arsenal, to be fair.
I think if you are Saliba, he had a tougher game against Solanke than he did Haaland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think we can all see that as well from the two games. Oh, do you mean from the one from last season?
No, this season. Season.
Yeah,
like,
sorry,
obviously, everything aside in regards to Arsenal defending for 50 minutes, like, I know Haaland got a goal today, but I wouldn't say that was down Gabriel's side. Saliba maybe come across. But I think the physical side that Solanke played against Saliba last weekend, I think he would have found that tougher than what he has with Haaland so far.
Yeah. I'm happy with the performance. I'm happy that we needed that player, but yeah, we don't do it enough. So, and I like that he's running off the ball. I'm seeing good signs from Solanke. I'm hoping that he can start, you know, move forward now with some finishing. We've got Europa League Thursday, and then the big game next week, which we'll assume we'll talk about fixtures after this anyway.
Yeah.
And predictions and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those games that, fine, you know, we didn't dominate the game. It might have been 50-50, or they might have had more possession than us in that game. Just we put our chances away for once.
Surprised you ain't looked at the stats, Luke, to be honest.
Well, as for every other game, knows the stats.
I did look at the stats. I mean, I can get them up again if you want, but I won't do that. But I'm happy with the result, and on to a big Thursday game. And
cool. Anyone else got anything to chuck their two pence in for Spurs?
No.
Oh, fuck them.
Brentford did have more of the ball.
Yeah. There you go. Cheers, Clive. Cheers. You've been saving that one all day and you're just waiting for that.
Londoners. Yes.
I mean, they are a London team as well, Brentford. So that's... Right. Man versus AI, I guess. Man versus AI. Beep, boop, boop, beep. There you go, one of you. It's brilliant, brilliant idea once again. Bob, well done.
Thank you.
Fuck you.
What?
Right, so bad week for the humans once again.
Yeah.
So both Mitchell and Bob predicted a West Ham win.
You're a fucking idiot, Mitchell. You can understand me doing it because I was trying to be confident.
I respected West Ham so much because they're fucking dog shit.
You both had 2-1. I think AI had a draw in that game as well.
AI had 2-1
Chelsea win. So it got a lovely 1 point there. It also had a Tottenham win, had the exact same result as Luke had, 2-1.
I'd say 3-1, I think.
Don't even try it.
Good one. That's 1 point each. And it got a direct hit for the two all City Arsenal.
Clive
had a City win, so Clive gets no points. AI gets 3 points. Putting it on 20 points and us on 11 points.
So we've got
a lovely 9-point gap at the moment. But that's only three direct hits. That's only three direct hits we need.
They know what they're doing.
In the individual table, Bob is on 4, Clive is on 3, Mitchell's on 2, and Luke is now on 2 as well. So, yeah. No more taking the piss out of Luke Mitchell.
Yeah. It's all right, Mitch, mate. We'll sneak up. Don't worry. You know, we'll sneak up on him.
I'm confident I won't be bottom with you by the end of the season.
Well, that's it. Well, I'm happy with that. Then we both won't be bottom. Someone, those two will be.
You'll be in an Arsenal shirt.
No. But yeah, also, this weekend, great result for us, Mitchell. You know, London is white and blue.
It's wrong saying that, though.
I think you can only really say that if only your team wins.
Yeah, it's like a loss for Arsenal, though, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Not really.
Yeah, it's like a loss.
2-2 with 10 men against City
it's
away.
It's like a loss.
It's not really. It's a loss. Point game. It's a really. Loss.
You believe that, that's fine.
I think a lot of people will believe that.
Well, Arsenal, pretty much
drawing away from home against the league champions with 10 men, it's a good result.
Good Is result for Michael Oliver.
Would you not take that result?
Oh, we would beat him, mate.
Alright, you've heard it here. Tottenham are beating the City away.
That's
I didn't say away, I said we're beating them.
Hey, we're talking about the away.
Is
that
Luke? Oh, what
percent? He's going to go with about 3, I reckon.
I'm not going 100%, mate. I'll tell you that.
I can see this being clipped for TikTok at some point.
We didn't ask for the great Ange Postecoglou. It's gone. We need
his new name.
We need Bob's impression on how he thinks the team talk went this week.
It's not happening this week, Clive, because I'm not in the mood. Right,
West Ham went about half time.
Shit. Oh, he looked fuming when he came off when the half time whistle was.
That's because he knows Karen's going to have his arse in a couple of weeks.
Moyes will be back in. He's not got a job yet.
He's hanging out.
Biding his time.
I'm getting behind my manager, not like you pricks.
Moyes?
Why, I always got behind Moyes.
So many West Ham fans are saying that now. It's unbelievable.
I literally did.
You did, yeah. I will back you up. You and my friend Reese did. Everyone else don't believe you for a second.
Yeah, me and your friend Reese are the best. Well done, your friend Reese.
Right, predictions for this week. Bob. West Ham have got Brentford away, another London derby.
This for me. I'm going to go 1-1.
Taking his medicine, predicting the draw.
Brentford are flat. I'm supposed to say that.
You're missing one of your catchphrases.
West Ham ruined it all for me.
Chelsea at home to Brighton, Mitch. What are you saying?
I'm going to go 2-0
Chelsea. 2-0
Chelsea.
Who's scoring?
my boy Jackson's getting two.
Yeah.
Luke, big game. United away.
1-1 draw.
1-1 draw as well. Everyone's getting a bit serious now.
I reckon you're right there, Luke.
Might have something to do with... AI absolutely dicking us at the moment.
Yeah. Well, we'll plan at Old Trafford. This is always going to be a tough game.
Arsenal at home to Leicester. I am going for a 2-3-0.
3-1.
I can't see Leicester scoring.
I'm going to go 3-0.
Do we know who's refing the game?
He loves scoring. I don't know against Arsenal. Oh, yeah, the ref. It's always hard against 12, isn't it?
Might as well be you. Right, AI predictions with a blurb. Let's get it up.
Here we go. West Ham are going to lose again.
Right, straight into the Arsenal-Leicester game. It's predicted a 2-0 Arsenal win. Arsenal have been strong at home. Boasting a solid attack and a very organised defence. Leicester, on the other hand... A solid attack.
Oh, well, I thought you said a son of attack.
Leicester, on the other hand, lack consistency, especially against top-tier teams. Arsenal's fluid midfield play and firepower will be enough to get them the 2-0 win. So that's all good. Brentford versus West Ham. What did you say it's going to do, Bob?
1-1 draw.
It has predicted a 1-1 draw.
Oh!
Both Brentford and West Ham have shown that they can be tough to beat, have they? Brentford being particularly resilient at home. West Ham have found some good form. No, they haven't. But Brentford's not updated, defensive discipline.
All right, it's not that funny, boys. Yeah, just don't go.
An ability to strike on the counter, especially through. Well, that's very.
Mate, if AI play, is not. If they play Antonio. Fucking hell. Useless.
AI is not on it this week. That's for sure. You.
It's true, though, Bob.
Chelsea versus Brighton. Prediction: Brighton 2. Chelsea 1.
Are what? You serious?
Yeah.
That's a joke.
It's predicted a Brighton win.
Is AI all right? You need to unplug it and plug it back in.
It might be having a bit of a mare. Brighton have been one of the most impressive sides this season, particularly against the traditional big teams. Chelsea, while talented and have been inconsistent, are still trying to find their rhythm under new management.
Brighton's I am a dickhead.
I'm shocked.
Players, yeah. 2-1, Brighton win. Interesting. Manchester United versus Tottenham. If we don't get points this week against fucking AI, it is out there. It has predicted a 3-2 Tottenham win.
Fucking hell.
Jesus Christ. What is going on with AI?
This fixture promises goals, with both teams possessing potent attacking players, but also defensive frailties. Manchester United struggles at the back, particularly dealing with quick transitions. Could play into Tottenham's hands, especially with the likes of James Maddison and Son. Although United's lack of attack, led by Marcus Rashford and Bruno Fernandes, should threaten Tottenham's counter-attack style.
Clive's turned AI on easy mode.
Yeah. It knows it's just taking the fist because it's got such a big fucking gap at the moment.
I can't even think it's going to be a 5-goal thriller. Oh, United are the only team that, well, United Palace, the only teams that didn't score this weekend.
Yeah. Awful. Maybe it hasn't.
There's always goals though in United and Spurs game. And then the fact that we're away from
famous
home.
Famous last words. 0-0. Well,
I'll take it away from home against United.
What, 0-0?
I'll take a draw. I'll take a draw. Even if it's 0-0. Point against Old Trafford.
You're just saying that Arsenal's 2-2 draw with Man City was a better result.
Yeah, but you're going for the Premier League, aren't you? We're not.
You're fucking mental.
What are you going for?
No, well, we obviously want to win the Premier League, but
you are contradicting everything you said last.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm going back because that's what I'm saying. We want obviously win the Premier League, but at the moment we're not there yet.
You've been saying that for 20 years.
Every team's in it to win it.
They are in it to win it, Clive. You know it.
Do you think you're going to get top four this season?
I think we do. I think we do. We are. We are getting top four.
We are. What's the percentage?
What's the percent?
I'm not giving no percentage. I'm not eating my words.
Mate, I will eat my words. There's no way Spurs get top four this season.
Oh. Let's look at who have you played so far.
Doesn't matter who played, Clive. Doesn't matter.
Kind of does.
Leicester, Newcastle, Brentford, Arsenal. Who's the other one?
You've played two teams that are above you in the league at the moment.
Oh, Everton.
Clive, pretty much everyone's pretty much near enough above us.
No, 10 teams are below.
But I know what you're
dead on halfway at the moment. Where I was going with that is, like, obviously you've got big games to come still.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to pick up points against City, Liverpool, Aston Villa.
But they are spread out very well, though, Clive. I'll let you know this. We've got. I don't want to go through these features because, you know, we'll go through it every week. But the next big team we've got is in.
So we're discounting United as a big team, right?
Yeah, we're not classing United. We're classing Man City is November.
So that's your next big game?
Yeah, because we don't count West Ham, do we?
Absolutely,
you know?
He's got a point.
I mean
if Chelsea can beat them 3-0,
I guess you could probably say Villa considering if they finish in
guess,
top four.
There's no guess. Guess. There's no guess.
Third at the moment.
So we'll go with Villa then. So that would be November still. So third of November.
Still in November.
I'm noting this down, Luke.
Okay.
No big change about West Ham, honestly. Clipping this on TikTok when we spank it.
Oh, fuck it. I'll read it out then. So we've got United, Brighton, yeah. West Ham, Crystal Palace.
So Brighton and United are tough teams. Again, Brighton are 9 points. sorry, Bob, I'm not going to say it. And again, it will be egg on my face because you'll do us again at home this season, no doubt. So
we'll beat you two all.
Yeah, but it's just spread out very well for us. It's like if we can get those points in between.
My question for the Villa game is: would you be playing them on a Champions League week?
No.
So, do I think you're better than Villa? No.
No, absolutely not.
You don't think we're better than Villa?
No, I don't think you're better than Villa at
all.
Oh, mate,
you guys are crazy.
You are crazy. You've played two decent teams so far in your five opening games. You lost both of them.
I'm aware of loss. It's the way that we've played. Yeah.
Here we go.
Who in your team do you think is better than Villa teams?
Our squad's better than Villa. Our squad is better than Villa. I don't care what you're saying. They finished in top four last season, but our squad's better than Villa.
I mean, I don't think it is. No, and it's not. Not by a country mile, how you're making it sound.
No, I'm not saying we're a country mile above that. Like you guys are not even a country mile above us. It's just...
I honestly think even Chelsea have got a better chance of getting top four than Spurs. If I was going to say West Ham, then...
Can you stop?
Sorry, Bob.
I can't wait for this season to finish then, because we will see where this goes.
We're going to get top four. I don't. But...
So William, what you're saying is Chelsea are going to finish above Spurs regardless then?
I think we will, yeah.
I reckon we might finish above you, Luke.
I'm laughing. That's so mean.
I mean, Chelsea's squad is huge. If they can get playing, then yes, I would agree Chelsea would probably finish above us. If they can get going and get consistency, and you're doing well at the moment, as you can see.
So you agree with me?
Yeah, no, I agree to some extent, Mitchell. Yeah, your squad is fucking huge.
Thank you.
You've got some great players on that squad. I'm just saying, if they can get going, they could challenge for the league.
Chelsea. Oh, well, we got Nicholas Haaland, didn't we?
Yeah. But I'm just, that's just it. That doesn't mean they're all going to gel together and be amazing. But we're better than Villa. We're better than Villa.
I don't see it.
Oh, you crazy.
You crazy.
I think if you... Sorry.
Go on, Bob.
I was just going to say, if you's... Because I will say about Spurs, I think they're arguably the best team that I've seen on the ball this season, minus probably Man City, I would say. They're very good on the ball. But like we said in previous podcasts, it's that finishing product. So if you keep doing what you did against Brentford, then yes, you could be really good. But then I'm not sure you've got the squad to compete with some of the other teams. You get me?
Yeah, no. I agree with you. We need to be finishing. We need to be getting on the final third. We need to be scoring those goals. It doesn't matter about possession. It just doesn't, you can't win games with just possession. It doesn't work like that. But I look at Tottenham's squad and the way that we're playing this season, and even last season when we played Villa, we were the better team still against Villa. They won the game 1-0, I think it was the last time we played them, which we should have won that, put a game to bed. But again, we didn't finish. But I'm looking at Villa team now, I'm like, they're good. I just don't think they're as good as Tottenham.
So you're saying this year you could get an improvement and get a draw?
No, we're beat Villa. We're beat Villa this season.
Oh,
that's
another
100%. That's another TikTok. The content is coming, guys.
I am not saying 100%. We're at home, our first game on October, 19th October.
So you've got them in October. So you haven't got a big game until November, but you've got them in October.
Oh, sorry. Ignore me. That was West Ham. They've got the same similar fucking ugly badges. November, 3rd of November, sorry. 3rd of November.
3rd of November, you play Villa.
Yeah.
At home.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're better than you.
Nah.
Oh, I can't wait for that game now.
No, I can't wait for that game. They're not better than us.
I can't wait for Spurs West Ham after that ugly badge come in, honestly. I mean, they're going to take that personally.
So for your top four, Luke, right, obviously at the start of the season, you predicted Liverpool winning it, City second, Arsenal third, and then Spurs fourth.
Yep.
That's still, after the first five games, that's still where your head's at.
That is, yep.
That's good.
Fair enough. I've got to back my team.
Sound like
Jamie O'Hara now.
You've got it, haven't you? You've been a Spurs fan. I can't be the typical Spurs fan who's like, oh, get Ange out, get this out, get that out, you know, and not backing the players. The team, I'm seeing improvements in what Ange's doing. You know, if we don't do it. But why not back him for now? You know, why not give him another season? We'll see where he's going, see where things happen. He's got January transfer window again. See who goes out, see who comes in. Like, it is early days. And our fixtures are spread out so well. It's not like Arsenal, where they've had to play, like, Tottenham, City. Who you got next, Clive?
Oh, we got Leicester next.
Leicester, okay. Well, it's not much of a hard team. But, like, we're not
playing... you look at the Arsenal fixtures we've already had this season. And we've played Brighton, we've played Villa.
The Villa. That's the game. Yeah, sorry,
we've played Tottenham.
Yeah.
So, from me, we've played probably four of possibly our hardest matches already, which is nice.
Yeah.
So getting them out of the way and still being currently undefeated is, I'm in a happy position right now. I think I predicted something silly like 25 points out of our first 10 games, which was out there. But I'm not too displeased with that prediction at the moment. The one game that I thought we might lose, we got a draw out of it. So
against 12 men,
exactly right.
We'll see how the season goes, Clive. We'll see how it goes. But I think the team that we've got now, the players that we've got, I think we are just ahead of Aston Villa in terms of ability.
But, and Chelsea.
Well,
even though we've got Jackson,
you might be ahead of them in regards to actual power wise, but like then it comes down to tactical and management and Emery. He does seem to know what he's doing over there. He's been very, very good. And there's not many other teams that have picked up as many points since he's been. I would go out on a limb and say I think tactically Emery's a better manager than Ange. And it's not even going
saying that for me.
Oh, I'm not gonna disagree with you in terms of managerial ability. Like Emery's just a class above. And just through experience, and that he's played in Premier League. Yeah, it would have been Premier League because he was Arsenal.
He was Arsenal manager.
So he's got that experience already in the Premier League. He knows how it works and how the systems work. And just coming in and getting the Premier League team like Tottenham to work in the way that he wants, and that's going to take a season or two to get there. You know, I'm not saying that, but I think as a whole, as a club, I think Tottenham are better than Villa, and I think the way that we're playing this season so far. And if we can just finish in the final third, we're beating Villa at home.
But if you spoke to Villa fans, they'd probably say they've not played particularly great so far, but they've still won four games.
Oh no, exactly. We've played great and not won. They've played great. Not so great. We're not great. Okay. Fucking Chelsea now because they've won. They're starting winning games. They're picking all these little. Nuances, aren't they? Fucking Chelsea fans. Go back to
Well, we've got
again.
A world class striker, haven't we? Gianfranco Jackson.
Fucking hell, Mitchell. God, out of all the ones that you've said, that's a joke.
I've got one left.
I'm waiting for the Drogba one.
Zola was fucking quality.
Yeah, he's my favourite Chelsea player.
Gianfranco Jackson. That is a disgrace. Lionel Jackson. Oh, you did that one.
Yeah,
Have you done that one? Oh, you did that one. Yeah,
Jackson Aldinia.
Oh dear.
Right, I think we could call it a wrap there.
Sorry,
Clive.
On a tangent.
Yeah, go on, Bob.
Clive, before we go, can I just personally thank Michael Oliver for taking the heat off his West Ham a little
You're
bit
a cunt.
This week?
Michael Oliver's a cunt. The Premier League's cunts. VAR's a joke.
One of the things I
did look at is obviously the Premier League, and this was before the Arsenal game, so this is not a woe it's me thing. I did look at the Premier League's VAR tweeting fucking account where they are kind of trying to explain VAR decisions, And I did look at it for the Vicario handball. Nothing. Yeah. Absolutely no tweet about it whatsoever. And it's so who's deciding what they actually talk about? Because
it's consistency again, isn't it?
I'm surprised all of the tweets don't just say, I ain't got a fucking clue.
That's exactly what they should say. Exactly what they should say.
I'm more than happy with VAR so far.
Yeah, of course you are.
What you've got to realise is we turned it off on our grand. We don't have it on.
In that £1 billion stadium.
That's it, yeah.
In a toilet bowl. Right, on that note, we're going to end it. And the final word goes to Clive. Fuck Michael Oliver.